This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome in, middle of the week edition of Sabres Live. You want some foreshadowing or advance warning right now, Marty?
Yeah, give me the advance warning. I'll talk to you about some advance warning I didn't get yesterday, but that's okay.
This comes from the self-deprecation file.
Okay.
So this is a public service announcement to our audience. How many times am I going to be on the air in the next 6 days?
Once.
Once is the correct answer.
It's going to be Friday. Yeah, tomorrow you've
tomorrow
got
I'm not
a day
available.
Off. You're not available, so that's good. And then Friday you'll be on, Saturday, Sunday, weekend, Monday, Tuesday, next week we're off, so we won't see you until next Wednesday after
that. And so you're off as well on the Monday, Tuesday. And this all stems from, remember yesterday I started the show and I said, you know, Monday was so bad, we need to atone for, you know, how
yes,
poor we performed.
I still don't know what atone means, but that's okay.
Yeah, well, we try to set a tone and we didn't. So what actually is, you know, we haven't done Mondays for a long time. We had a couple of Mondays in a row. The bosses said, these guys are terrible on Mondays. We need to stop the Monday train here as soon as possible. So,
and Tuesday has been like a Monday, so we can't redo Monday on Tuesday. So we're going to start on Wednesday next week. That's the way it goes. Okay, so that's good foreshadowing. I just want to let you know that I laugh like this is me. This is who I am, right? Yesterday, I'm still getting it this morning. I'm getting absolutely destroyed on social media, mainly X, because of a comment I made on TSN yesterday about Team Canada starting Jordan Binnington over Aiden Hill. And I laugh. Like last night going to bed, I was reading some of the comments and I'm like, this is comical. This is what people feel like they should do with their 45 seconds or a minute. And then I got playing in my head, like the character of this guy. Let's call him Joe. Joe is probably trying to write a response to my thing. And then he's deleting it. And then he's writing it. And let's see, he loses 45 minutes of his life trying to write the perfect response to me, knowing that I'm kind of laughing and being entertained by it on the other end. So that was my night and this and morning. It's pretty funny.
I thought you were going to do the Joe voice.
Oh, Marty, you were a career backup. You're going after a Stanley Cup winner. Way to go, Byron.
Thank you for playing along. That's exactly what it's supposed to sound like.
But I love it. I think it's look. What is doing what we do if it's not about having strong opinions and kind of go sometimes against current? I'm not doing it for clicks. I really felt like Aiden Hill should be the starter for Team Canada. We talked to Michael Leone yesterday, and I get maybe more of why the decision of John Cooper. Like Binnington's a gamer. Binnington's he's got maybe a little higher ceiling. What up? Like that was the thing, but I felt Hill should have been the guy.
But who really should have been the guy if they hadn't had to go through this exercise timing-wise the way they did?
At the end of November? Like, they would be three different goalies.
Right. Sitting here as a Canadian who was taking part in Hockey Canada teams, events previously, are you sitting here going, this is really, like, poorly designed in the sense that they had to build the roster then, couldn't make adjustments now? Like, how do you view, we haven't spent a ton of time on this, and I really want to spend more time talking Sabres and come here, like, you know, after the break, trade deadline, all that. We've been trying to invite, engage a bigger conversation on this this week and next, despite limited shows, because it's super important, obviously. Yep. But I didn't really ask what ideally the timeline should have been for building rosters and exceptions and last minute additions and things like that, because you just said there should be, could be three different Canadian netminders at this point.
I think if you are saying who are the three best Canadian goalies in the National Hockey League right now, you would say Logan Thompson, Mackenzie Blackwood, Darcy Kuemper. That probably would be your 3-0 of goaltender. Instead, you have Jordan Binnington on a team that's middling, you know, not going to be a playoff team most likely. You had Sam Montembeau on one of, you know, the teams that have really struggled of late. And you got Aiden Hill, who has been very hot or cold, or I won't even say hot or cold. It's just been like average for Aiden Hill. We've seen better from Aiden Hill. But Aiden Hill won a cup 2 years ago. Jordan Binnington won a cup in 19. And, well, maybe Montembeau early in the season was a better option than Kuemper in LA and Mackenzie Blackwood, who was in San Jose before getting to Colorado. So you're right. I feel like picking December 2nd maybe doesn't allow you, especially when it comes to goaltending, to pick the best options. USA, it was easy. Thatcher Demko was injured. You pick your three best guys. That's fine. Sweden and Finland, it's easy because there's not that many of them in the National Hockey League that you're kind of picking, you know, 75% or 80% of your goalies in the National Hockey League. Mm-hmm. But with Team Canada, it was a lot harder, and I felt like it. But what else were they supposed to do? Pick them, you know, February 1st when the tournament is 2 weeks later and then everybody's scrambling to get it done. Like, I just feel like there was no perfect scenario. You get what you get and you move on.
Right. Which, for
like
me,
with Tage Thompson is the same thing. Like, I bet you that if it had been now, they're probably picking Tage instead of Chris Kreider or Brock Nelson or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it just probably Tage is on that team, but you pick December 1st, and you probably felt like, okay, we're going to go in a different direction. But I think right now, Tage would have been a lock on the team.
Yeah, those ones are interesting. I mean, roles come into it, and not just totals. But what I was going to say about, you know, the no perfect scenario here, this is why I struggle with in-season stopping the game, doing something like... If it's in late August or early September, we're not looking at the three goaltenders' stats over the past 2 months.
Yes.
They were picked. They were the choices. They're valid. And we start without interrupting anything.
Yes.
And that's why we run into this. Now, I guess it's great fodder, whatever. And next year it's the Olympics, so it's completely different. But you, now correct me if I'm wrong. Apologies here, but I haven't given a lick of thought to the Olympics, but like
the Olympics next year, but yes.
But like, do you essentially run into the same issue? You do, right?
You're probably picking your team. I remember Team USA in 2006 for the Torino Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Ryan Miller
won
got
by
hurt.
Sweden, by the way.
Was that?
Won by Sweden, by the way.
Won by Sweden and Henrik.
This is a lifetime ago for some people. Like when you're so.
What an accomplishment for Team
that.
Sweden that was! Like, remember, '98 was Czech Republic, Dominik Hasek. 2002 was Canada. That was in Salt Lake City. 2006, Sweden with Lundqvist
against Finland. Unbelievable.
And this was the first time we'd seen Lundqvist in North America because he had just joined the Rangers in 2005-2006 after the lockout. So he kind of came through the scene, took the job from Kevin Weeks, by the way. Weeks, he was his goalie partner in New York, was supposed to be the starter. And then, boom, right, the Olympics. But I remember, so Ryan Miller got injured the morning of that fateful Ottawa 10-4 loss where they had the double 4 goals, right, that I played and Mikko Noronen played. So Millsy gets hurt early November. He's going to be back in about 6 weeks. When he returned to action right before Christmas, he wanted to play because he wanted to show Team USA, I'm ready to go. Because Millsy may have been on that team.
Mm-hmm.
And right that weekend that Ryan came back, they announced Team USA. So it was a little later. It was right before Christmas. but it still was middle of. Looking back now, Ryan Miller would have been on that team. If he's not injured, he's on that team. The way that he played, the run to the conference finals, everything, like Millsy's on that team. But again, they picked in mid-December as opposed to maybe mid-January.
So anyway, they, you know, we have a 2010, Canada wins that. Yep. And again, we're just sitting in this world where, yes.
And 14, so she was the last one with NHL players at those events.
Right. So as far as tonight is concerned, make it Sabre related, right?
Rasmus Dahlin, right? He's the only one on the ice. So you're watching Sweden.
What's your big thing tonight? Like, are you...
I want to see what role they use him in.
If Canada lose, like, whoever... What do you think it's going to take to make the final? Like, what do you think the record is going to be of the two teams that advance to the final? And keep in mind,
I'm almost thinking
it's a 3-2-1 point system, despite the fact the NHL seemingly hates the 3-2-1, but they've chosen to go with it here.
They kind of have no choice to go with it because you're hoping that you are going to get maybe a point separation. Like three teams could be 2-1 at the end of it, and Finland could be 0-3.
Why, so for all 100 of a sudden years, you get, we've had goal differential. That's what it comes down
to. That's what it is. So you're hoping that maybe there's an overtime and a regulation game that separates the three. I think that's exactly what we're going to get, and it's going to be a disaster, okay? Because Canada, USA, and Sweden are probably going to be 2-1. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Team Sweden beat Canada tonight and then lose to the U.S. and beat Finland. And the U.S. beats Sweden and Finland, lose to Canada. Canada beats USA and Finland, lose to Sweden. Like, it could easily happen. And all of a sudden, you're like, oh, how do we pick two teams? Right? So that's why they did the 3-2-1 point system. But wouldn't that be the worst if you went to goal differential and all of that to
decide? No, I would like it more, actually.
Because you would we'd talk more about it.
I mean, it's you know, to say I grew up on it might be overstating it, but it was a thing. Like, it was part of my fascination with stats as a kid. Because you knew that in micro moments, whether it was like something you were involved in playing or, you know, whatever, you became accustomed to learning about it, that point differential, goal differential mattered, right? And whether it did
talk
or
to anybody in youth hockey, that's all it is. You go to a youth tournament, there's like 32 teams in the tournament. You have your four-team division, and you need to be top two to advance. And now the second and third place team is tied. And it's not goal differential somehow, it's goals against. Somehow in the bylaws, in the first tiebreaker is goals against. And you thought all tournament it was going to be goal differential. So you won a game 11-5 and you're thinking we're plus six. No, you gave up five goals. You're at a distance. It's like everybody that's in youth hockey knows that these things happen all the time. The World Juniors used to be like that back in the days. It used to be a round robin.
That's why the scores were as high as they were.
Because you had to make sure that if you were going to be Canada and USSR were going to be tied for first and playing in the last game, and maybe it's a tie. Well, we have the goals differential. You don't. We can play for the tie. You can't. Like, that's what it was.
Yeah, I'm still not sure Canada needed to beat Norway 48-0 back in the 40s, I think. But, you know, like, I think that's a little excessive, but whatever.
They didn't. No. Did Canada and the Soviet need to beat the crap out of them when they had the brawl with Theo Fleury on the ice? Know, and then they both got disqualified?
So, Dahlin specific. Like,
yes.
What are you expecting here? Rasmus Dahlin will blank at the Four Nations face-off to get us back on topic. I thought we had actually outgrown all these daily topics, producer Jeff. I didn't know we were revisiting them all here during our extended
We failed to bring it on Monday. We got to bring it on Wednesday, Duffer. We got to definitely have some stuff.
This is allegedly a fill-in-the-blanks Wednesday, and we are trying to fill in the blank for Rasmus Dahlin, and Rasmus will blank at the Four Nations face-off. What do you think? And we obviously want input as well.
The word that I'm thinking is fly. Rasmus Dahlin will fly at the Four Nations face-off. Here's the thing. He's right now being paired with Gus Forsling of the Florida Panthers. Like, we think of Gus Forsling last year coming out party season, playoffs. Everybody was talking and raving about Gus Forsling and how good it. But I think with Dahlin, this is going to be one that he may be playing a different role. Like, the way they have their defense pair with Team Sweden, Hedman is on, you know, a top pair with Brodin. You got Dahlin with Forsling. You got Ekholm with Carlson. So I'm saying this is green light for Dahlin to fly all over the ice. Forsling's going to stay back. Forsling's going to, you know, be the defensive-minded guy, and Dahlin can just create offensively, join the rush. I think we are going to see Dahlin fly. Now, will he be a top power play guy? Or is that Carlson? Or is that maybe Hedman? Will Dahlin play on the side? There's still some question mark. Like, that could change it within the tournament. But I think he'll be fun to watch. I think this is going to be we've seen what Dahlin can do the last little bit here. You know, even in his last game in Nashville, Lindy Ruffson, that was Dahlin's best game of the season. I think he's energized by the tournament, and he'll be flying.
You kind of blurted it out there. Did you mean it, that you think Sweden will, could? Obviously, they could. Anybody can win. Remember, months ago, when we went through this exercise of unveiling the rosters, like I said, Finland will win. Of course, they don't have Heiskanen now, and I'm very concerned about their defense corps in totality, but I'm still not against what their group and their goaltending is capable of. So, you know, I haven't written them off to the extent that others have. But, I mean, if I'm pushing you on this... What's that?
I just said they were going to go 0-3. Yeah, maybe I've written them off. You're not there yet.
Yeah, I think I like to separate my opinion from yours when possible. But, okay, push is coming to shove. Who wins tonight, Canada, Sweden?
I think this is maybe the opportunity Sweden has to start the tournament with a surprise, right? And I think it's a very clear possibility. If Sweden gets a really good performance from potential starter Filip Gustavsson, he's been picked over Linus Olmark to start the game tonight. I think what we could see is that all of a sudden it's a 0-0 game, a 1-1 game into, you know, late in the second, early third, and Canada's a little bit like, what the heck is going on, right? Like, we should be dominating this. Team Sweden has a lot of firepower. Willie Nylander, you know, Rickard Rakell, who's had a really strong month and a half with Pittsburgh, Adrian Kempe, Philip Forsberg, Elias Pettersson, Zibanejad, Erik Sinek, Lucas Raymond, Jesper Bratt. Like, that's your top nine. And that's really strong. So I think I saw a quote today from Victor Hedman and saying, this is the most individual skills we've had on a Team Sweden in many, many, many years. I'm not surprised. I think Sweden, I wouldn't put money on it, but I wouldn't be surprised. I'm going to say Sweden wins 3-1 in an empty net.
Nice. I hope so.
I would make for... Listen, with Canada losing in the quarters again this year at the World Juniors, if Canada loses to Sweden tonight, they may shut down the country tomorrow and have that summit, have that hockey summit. What's wrong with Team
Canada? And who would lead it?
Huh?
And who would lead it?
Well, I saw news yesterday that Hockey Canada is going to name a general manager and a president of hockey operations for the World Juniors, the Spengler Cup, like somebody that's going to have a job, a 12-month out-of-the-year job to lead it the right direction.
We'll save that one for another day. What other Sabre-related things are on your mind?
Ron McLean would lead it, you know, because Ron McLean would want to lead it. Anybody that's been in Canada and watching Hockey Night in Canada for years, they know that Ron McLean would probably be the one to say it. So what else Sabres-related? Well, do I want to see what?
Here, let me encourage you.
I'm trying to look at the angle of who would be available. Like, Elias Pettersson, is he still available? Do I want to watch Team Sweden to see what Elias Pettersson can do away from the Vancouver Canucks and the toxic environment that it's been? If he goes out and lights it out?
Have a big finish in his final game. Like, everything around him as the NHL hit pause was positive.
Yes.
He apparently, you know, kind of broke his silence, came out of his shell a little bit from a media standpoint, had a terrific game against Toronto. There just seemed to be a peace, finally, with Pettersson.
Yeah, well, the only goal he has scored in the last month was the game against Buffalo, right? And that's the only goal that he scored. He's still not scoring. He should be a goal scorer. So I know he's played better, but I want to see if he is a goal scorer put in that situation, playing the middle, of the second line for Team Sweden.
Well, one thing to remember, though, even without his typical production, Vancouver, I think, very quietly has gone 6-1-1 in the last eight, winning three in a row. And in those six wins in the last eight, they've given up six goals.
Yeah.
Six. So, like, they've punted Calgary temporarily from that last wild card spot. And this is, like, that's why I can't imagine that there's any change in Elias Pettersson's future moving forward. It's done. It's behind him. It's behind them. The team is where they expected to be, even with another latest wrinkle with Demko leaving due to injury prior to the last, you know, in the last week. So
Vancouver could be third in a week.
Of course they could. Yes.
They could be third in the Pacific Division. They're 2 points behind LA. Mm-hmm. And all season it was Edmonton, Vegas, LA, Edmonton, Vegas, LA, top three in the Pacific. And all of a sudden Vancouver could be there. Yeah, they're where they want to be. Okay, let's think that the eight teams in the West are going to be the eight team. Calgary, you had a good run, but you're out.
Mm-hmm.
Is Vancouver saying, we've already traded JT Miller? Are we trading Elias Pettersson and thinking it's making us better?
No.
But I want to see what he looks like with Team Sweden to see, should anybody make a big pitch? Should the Sabres make a big pitch saying, we're going to take a big swing at Elias Pettersson? I want to see what he looks like.
Blank will be the Sabres name to watch as the trade deadline approaches.
Oh, can I have two? Can I have double blanks?
Take mine.
I think it is going to be Cousins, obviously, name to watch. And I think it is going to be a hyphenated Byron Power. And I'm saying that because I don't think the Sabres are interested in moving from Owen Power. I think everything that we've talked and heard, even Lindy Ruff the other day, he was talking about Tyler Myers, how he remembers a day where Tyler Myers showed up, maybe it was after year two, right? And he looked over to Lindy and he says, I don't have my man strength yet, but I feel like it's coming. I think Owen Power is in that same boat. Like, he's big and strong, but he doesn't have his man strength yet. Like, his grown man, his adult strength.
Well, keep in mind, Tyler Myers was traded.
Tyler Myers was traded, but that was something that always stuck with Lindy as that conversation. And I get it. Tyler Myers was traded to, you know, Winnipeg to get Evander Kane and Zach Bogosian, and there was a big trade. I think it was this week that it happened. It was in early February. And Evander Kane was hurt for the rest of the year. It wasn't a trade to say, let's get better. It was more of a trade for futures and whatnot. But so I think Dylan Cousins is one to watch.
Mm-hmm.
As the Sabres are, you know, putting their roster together now, you got Yuri Kulik 1C. You got McLeod playing 2C. You got Cousins that was playing third line center, a little bit on the wing. I think it's been dropping. So Cousins is to watch. And then one of Byram and Power. And we talked about it, Byram signing them, extending them. But I think it's hard to move on in the future with Darlene, Power, Byram, and think that you've got, you know, 20-some million dollars allocated to three defensemen. I think there's an option to kind of get something that is going to make you a better club down the road?
Yeah, I don't have those same concerns monetarily with three defensemen. To me, it's almost how you would dream it. Like, I want three really, really, really good defensemen. If I can have half of my defense corps every night that I think are, and again, this goes back to our summer conversation. Mm-hmm. What if Dahlin, Byram, and Power all trend over 40 points? At one point I said 50, that's unrealistic, but still 40 for all of them is possible. Well, what's happened? They haven't got the production from the forwards. They haven't.
You need to address that.
But they're still top 11 in the league in scoring, even with me saying that. That's the crazy part, right? They've had a huge push from the blue line. I think that's important for them moving forward. But can they add, ignite, infuse a little bit more offense from the top group? The Amerks continue to score. We'll talk about them later on in the show. Another big win last night for them in Cleveland, and still 3-3 this weekend to come. Blank, before we break and talk to Rich Dereller from our community relations department coming up. Blank is the next Sabre to receive a contract extension.
Oh, well, obviously, I think that the obvious one here would be Bo Byram, if that is something that the Sabres feel like they have to do. If they got the numbers right, where they feel comfortable, I would think that Bo Byram would be the guy. I have really liked Ryan McLeod, but I think McLeod may say, hey, I'm an RFA, I can kind of take my time here, but I've really liked Ryan McLeod and the fit here in Buffalo. So if I was to pick, I'm going to say Byram over McLeod. I think when it comes to Quinn and Peterka, who both need a contract after this year, I think that's going to take a lot longer. But my first thought is Byram first, McLeod second, when you look at contract extension.
All right. On that note, we will take our first break and remind you that coming up here in Black History Month, Sabres are going to have Black History Celebration to unite our community. It's people celebrating Black excellence throughout the Sabrehood and beyond. And this game comes up against Anaheim on February 25th. It's Tuesday night. Look forward to seeing you there at KeyBankSabres.com/tickets to purchase yours today. Sabres Live continues after this.